Welcome to Awakening Spirituality and Business Today, inspiring you to succeed with all your heart and soul. Your hosts today are Daniel Gutierrez, international business consultant, motivational speaker, and best-selling author, and Johnny Hernandez, proven business executive, passionate life and business coach, and founder of Living with Purpose, whose mission is to inspire teams and individuals to achieve their personal and professional best. Together, they'll light the path to help you achieve your absolute best. Without further ado, let's turn it over to Daniel and Johnny for today's illuminating discussion.
Well, hello, everybody. What a great day to be alive, huh? Thanks for joining us as we continue the discussion around the 15 diseases of leadership according to Pope Francis. Today, we're going to discuss the fifth disease, and if you haven't had the opportunity to read the article written by Gary Hamel in the Harvard Business Review, we would encourage you to jump on the link on Blog Talk Radio or even the Living with Purpose .today website and check it out, because the article was fantastic. Well, obviously, it was motivation for Daniel and I to create a 15-episode series just to have the conversation. Today's dialogue is around the disease of poor coordination. And the way Gary articulates it is, once leaders lose a sense of community among themselves, the body loses its harmonious functioning and its equilibrium. It then becomes an orchestra that produces noise. Its members do not work together and lose the spirit of camaraderie and teamwork. When the foot says to the arm, "I don't need you," or the hand says to the head, "I'm in charge," they create discomfort and parochialism. Well, joining me today is my co-host, partner in crime, and soon-to-be Peru-bound savant, Daniel Gutierrez. Good afternoon, Daniel.
Hey, buddy, what's going on? I love being in the back seat.
Hey, before we get started, you know, I just mentioned that Daniel's be going to Peru here soon. Actually, you're leaving on Father's Day, if I remember correctly. You're going with
That's
about
right.
20 people and one special guest, your son, the young man Aaron. Can you give us a little bit of insight about what are you doing when you're in Peru?
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. Thanks, Johnny, for bringing that up. On Father's Day, what a great day. I never even thought about it. My son just graduated the eighth grade. He keeps saying, "I'm not an eighth grade anymore, Dad. I'm a freshman." I said, "Oh, that's right. I have to call him a freshman." But, you know, he's a freshman now, and so he's got his graduation, and it's all felt so perfectly. It was great. And Father's Day's on Sunday, and he and I and 20 other people are meeting. People from all over the world are going to meet me in Cusco, Peru. Aaron and I actually get a full day in Lima together, and we're going to go and check out Lima, Peru, and then head out to Cusco and meet with everybody else. But I'll be leading a group of people along with a spiritual guru, Masajati, on a spiritual journey of Peru through the Sacred Valley, Pizac, Ollantaytambo, and Machu Picchu. And so it's the first of three trips this year, Johnny. I get so excited. I can't even explain why I love going there, because I get energized there. I love the land. I love to see something besides buildings. And when you get into that place where there's such beauty and energy that is so different from where we live, you can't help but just be energized by the sheer beauty of Peru. And the people are just, they're heart-based people, and so it's all about Mother Nature. It's all about love. It's all about family, and they're very open to that. And so this is kind of a family thing that I put together because my son wanted to go, so other families are bringing their kids, and we're going to be doing quad riding in the mountains, in the Andes Mountains, river rafting, all kinds of great stuff, and we're also going to be doing some spiritual things. I actually brought down, Johnny, one of the most sought-after shamans from the Quechuan people out of the mountains down into where we're going to be at in our hotel to actually do a ceremony called a despacho. And a despacho is a ceremony to Mother Nature, thankfulness and appreciation for what Mother Nature does. And what an appropriate time, since we'll be right at the summer solstice. So it's going to be an absolute great time. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to a little bit of a break. Johnny's going to be solo, not like solo, but S-O-L-O. running the show next week and the week after. So you guys are going to be in for a treat because I know he's got some great things in store for you.
Yes, that's exactly right. And you know what's so funny, Daniel, because in all my conversations I have throughout the week, and I know we got to get to this show here, but I think this Peru thing is just so wicked cool that, you know, and all the dialogue I've had over the last few weeks talking about, you know, the work that we do together, the work we do independently, one of the things that continues to come up are these, and retreats probably isn't the appropriate word, I mean, pseudo-retreats, spiritual journeys, leadership development, whatever the case may be, but in this particular case, anytime you mention Peru and the spiritual aspects of these trips, I'm not kidding you. I mean, we haven't even scheduled next year yet, and I think there's already 10 people that said, count me in, I'd like to go. And then Tibet, you know, it's just amazing.
Yeah, and for those of you listening today, Johnny and I will be scheduling. As a matter of fact, he and I have a face-to-face meeting. We both live in two parts of the country to discuss next year and how that's going to look. You know, places like Tibet, Indonesia. We might even just start out in a place here in the United States that's absolutely phenomenally part of an energy grid, which is Sedona, Arizona. A lot of people don't know about Sedona and what a wonderful place. I call these, Johnny, VWAPs. Vacations with a purpose, you know, where we can take time to really connect, not just spiritually, but humanly to each other. I mean, you know, I hate to go off on a tangent, but I think it always comes back around to our shows and what I think Pope Francis stands for. And that is, you know, considering the nine people that just lost their lives in Charleston, in the church, we lack a sense of understanding and compassion for each other, not just for the person that did the killing, not for the people that died, but also for each other. As I read through Facebook and social media, we're lost our way, people. We have lost our way, and when we continue to perpetuate for the sake of entertainment this type of behavior, we are doomed as a society. And, you know, hate to kind of be a downer on such great stuff, but the reason why we do these retreats, the reason why I'm going on these trips, is to teach people to connect to that the humanness, the reason why they're here, and that's to be not only in communion with their God, but in communion with each other human beings. And I think we're beginning to lose that, and people are becoming lost in their own lives and their own inability to know their neighbors and connect. And I think that a lot of the things that we talk about, even today, the whole idea of poor coordination, the left hand not knowing what the right hand's doing, or the leg saying to the arm, I don't need you, and I can do this on my own, is all part of a more global picture, a global understanding of togetherness, of oneness that exists. But we're just losing our way in that, and little offshoots of individuals who have just at a breaking point. Can you imagine that sometimes, John, I know you felt this way, I know I do, you know, I feel sometimes at a breaking point. Imagine someone that didn't have the faculties or the understanding to cope with that. What do they do? Where do they go? So, you know, these spiritual retreats, leadership retreats, vacations with a purpose will be designed to bring you together, and at least for the 2 or 3 days or 10 days that we're together, that we get back to that understanding. Because at the end of the day, with this whole article that Pope Francis, Gary put together, was about things that matter in leadership that are beyond the actual physicality of business. It's more into the soft skills and the humanness of who we are. So good stuff. I can't wait. I can't wait for us to get together and get that first retreat. Whatever. I don't even want to call it a retreat. We'll have to find a word for it, but it's going to be fun.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. And I think that actually, I don't know if it's even a segue, I think it parallels beautifully with our conversation today, which is the disease of poor coordination. And when you say, what really does that mean? I think it shows up in various ways. So it shows up in authoritarian-type leaders that have the answers but don't have the time to listen to other points of view, even if it comes from the masters or those who are closest to the client or the customer, whoever the recipient of the work is. It comes in environments, and you see it a lot in larger organizations, and they use a language where they call silo mentality, where everyone stays within their racetrack, right? They don't cross the lines. And I think, Daniel, I think you did a beautiful job right there articulating how sometimes when we talk about the left hand speaking to the right hand, in many cases they speak just fine as long as they're within the boundaries of our home or within the boundaries of our extended family. The challenge is once they start reaching out beyond our own, let's just say, selfishness into the community, into across, you know, intranationally within the domestic United States, and then when you see about the disasters in Tibet, and just take your pick of which tragedy or catastrophe you're talking about, then all of a sudden we talk about coordination. Well, then it's easier to turn a blind eye because it really doesn't apply to me. And in many cases, it goes back to that selfishness of I know best, and if I listen to, show an open mind, or potentially behave, or take my business a different direction based on someone's perspective other than my own, then all of a sudden, what does that say about my credibility or even title? And that, to me, is absolutely crippling, and it still fascinates me how the Pope, if you haven't read this article, you absolutely have got to go to the Blog Talk website or the Living with Purpose website and read it, because it's phenomenal. Because the Pope, you would think he was a senior executive of a Fortune 10 organization who's been doing it forever. I mean, it's just unbelievably moving. So when I think about it, and I listen to the way you describe it, Daniel, and I think about some of the larger companies that we see in the world today, and it's a caution to some of the smaller companies. It's for me, I can tell you firsthand, I am very well in tune with the fact that I'm not the brightest bulb in the closet always, and it's my ability to surround myself with some of the most amazing people on the planet that has and continues to make me successful, you know. And quite frankly, right, personal company, Daniel, yourself at hand. So, I mean, what's your thoughts on that, Daniel? I mean, you were in the business for a long time. You worked with major, major corporations. You worked with the banking industry when we were going through the Wall Street channels. I mean, you've seen a lot of this. Where's your head on it?
Yeah, you know, the problem, and we've talked about this in one of the other diseases, that the problem becomes when a leader fears somebody will be better than they are. When they fear that if they bring up people, and this is where the difference between good leaders and bad leaders and why you've been so successful, Johnny, I think, at leading, is because you never were afraid to support or lift someone up. You never were afraid of your own competency within the corporate structure. And a lot of people are. So that's how they create this divideness stuff, this divide and conquer thing. As a person who has been president of a very prestigious organization in New York, I can tell you right now, and this is during the banking, before the banking crash, you know, that the mentality, and maybe it's still there, I mean, who knows, the mentality was almost high schoolish, you know, cliquish in a way, and at the same time, let's divide and conquer. Rather than bringing the talent together and creating an all-star team that can create the kind of environment that harbors, and so let me break it down to harbors each helping each other. So let's break it down to even the store level, at a retail level. If a customer walks up to, and this is my opinion, if a customer walks up to a register, and the cashier happens to be busy, maybe helping somebody down, you know, with something. But a customer walks up. A well-run organization that is run as a team will have someone step into that role that's qualified and ring that person out rather than waiting for the cashier. The organization that is being kind of ran by, you know, this is my position, this is your position, blah, 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 is going to be, you know, waiting, and all of a sudden there's 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 people. And there should never have to be someone that gets on a loudspeaker and asks for another cashier. The culture of that organization should already create that willingness for someone to step up. And I think that's when you're bringing people together and running as a team and as a whole, where really the CEO, CFO, general manager, you know, whatever you want to call it, isn't necessarily the boss, rather than the person that facilitates. Because think about it. If you and you probably don't want to think about it this way, but think about it. This is the way I saw myself when I was in corporate, and that was that when I was running a location with employees, to be honest with you, think about it. Even though I may have been the top person, I was really the mediator between the employees and corporate office. That's it. All I did was facilitate the ability for the business to run and for people to get paid. That's it. Everybody else did all the work. So I didn't see myself any different than anybody that was there so much as making myself as available to the customer as anyone else would. And I think that should be true. And that's when we're working as a team. The same thing needs to be talked about when you're talking about upper-level management. A lot of times a CEO will create a sense of, favoritism, you know, or nepotism within an organization that doesn't work.
Yeah.
That way of running organizations does not work, and it will always bring you down. Don't believe that just because you're a big company that you won't be gone. Look at Lehman Brothers. They're gone. They were a huge organization, huge company. There are a lot of companies out there that no longer exist, you know, because they could not, would not, and develop into the companies or corporations that are needed to be part of this global environment that we're in today and very quickly changing environment, you know. So the reason why Johnny and I tackled these 15 diseases was because I know that we have a heart for teaching and training people to be more of themselves by accepting their humanness. It is when we go against our humanness, the fact that we have feelings, the fact that we can be family men or women, the fact that, you know, we'd rather go to that show with our significant others than to stay and work late because something needs to get done. There's so many things there that come up, Johnny, when we think about this whole idea of creating coordination within an organization. But it really starts with the head. It starts with the head. And, you know, to really put this in a really – maybe this is not a good way to a good example, but I'm going to use it anyway because I think people will understand. If an organization, a terror organization like ISIS or ISIL can be so put together and run so oiled, why is it that we can't do it? And they run across countries and across globally. Why is it that our companies can't do that? It's because we choose not to.
That's right.
We choose to run things the way we've always done it, and I think that's a career-ending opportunity.
Well, and the generations that we're seeing today that are in school, just fresh out of school, and that will be, they don't think that way anymore. I was just having a conversation with a senior leader for a major organization across in the United States today, and we were talking about, as you and I do every show, about what the workforce, the leaders of today are like versus historical. And instead of saying, you know what, I'm going to abide by, I'm going to work for this company, abide by their policies, it's this generation that's going to shape their policies by what they're willing to and not willing not to put up with. And when I think about what you talk about, you talk about Lehman Brothers there for just a moment. I think in some cases there's this misperception, and it's fascinating that when you see some of these monster organizations, let's just say the Fortune 100 companies, that people have a perception that these companies really got it all together at every level of leadership. And we could tell you firsthand, because we work with these companies, it's they're no different than a company, you know 5,000th on the list. They have the same challenges. Now, that doesn't mean they don't have the money to deal with some of the technology issues that may arise, some of the reporting, customer insights, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But when it truly comes down to leadership, you know, I kind of almost use the parody of the two of my favorite words, childish and childlike. And when I think of children, I went to watch my nephew play ball last night, and I'm a huge baseball fan, and I absolutely love children, so it was combining two of my favorite things. And when I was watching those kids play ball last night and root for each other there in the dugout, and I thought, you know, this is what it's supposed to be like. That's the childlike behavior that we refer to, that no matter who you are, what's your background, what grade you're in, or what family you come from, you're on a team of equals. Now, I may be in fourth batting position because I'm the guy to get out there and hit the home run, but on the field, everyone's playing, you know, an important part. And everyone in an environment of equals is valued. Unlike childish behaviors, which we see as we transition into the business world in some of the most senior executives in some of the largest companies, is that I appreciate your insight, and now I'm going to go, and on behalf of you, I'm going to present it as my idea. And
no.
Or, right? And you see that quite frequently. And it's crazy.
Yep.
And there's nothing that drives down employee morale and engagement than having a leader who he or she pumps their chest out and acts like they've got all the answers, that can't make the time for employees. And truly, and here's the worst part about it, is in some cases they're so far removed that they don't actually truly understand what's going on at those places that make the organization money, whatever kind of company or corporation it is. And they're the ones out there touting about it, and or in some cases getting the credit. It takes a high level of humility. And one of the things you talked about, that Daniel, when you were in it, was 100 years ago that you were running a retail location. But the bottom line is this: in many ways, you were ahead of the curve. I read an article today, and I'm going to post it on my Twitter site and Facebook and my LinkedIn site today. I got to go back and find it, but it talked about generalist leaders versus specialist, and the difference between a specialist. Truly, that when you go into the role, you've studied it, you've learned it, you've experienced it, and you have the wisdom of 20 years of mastery in that space. And eventually you come into a position where you're leading people like that, and you're in a space where, guess what, you're no longer the subject. It's not subject matter expertise. It's human beings you're leading that have a cross-section of it. And it's this whole disease of poor coordination that unless you truly have that open heart, that genuine care for other human beings, that appreciation that in every way, shape, and form we're created equal in the eyes of our higher power, and that if we truly looked at each other like we were legitimately brothers and sisters, how would that dialogue change? And it would be one of more open-mindedness, a willingness to listen, a willingness to learn, in an environment where we'd open our hearts, and together we would go out and solve problems, no matter how big or how small they are, and together we would all take credit for it, and we wouldn't get ruffled when we weren't in the room in the dialogue, because we knew our hard work was being represented.
That's nice. I mean, I think that's just put so well, and I think that's where our world is headed. So, Johnny, I'm curious, what's up for the next couple of weeks while I'm gone?
Well, you know, we haven't even discussed it. You know, next week we're going to the sixth
disease.
Did you get the Pope? I have a the sixth leadership disease. I didn't get the Pope for next week. However, he still hasn't gotten back to me 2 weeks from July 2nd.
That's right.
So I don't want to commit on his behalf yet, because I know he's fairly busy. But next week, I have a very special guest joining the dialogue around leadership, and it's Robert Stevens. Robert Stevens, for those of you who don't know, Robert is one of the most amazing human beings you could ever engage in a dialogue. Aside from being the founder of Geek Squad here in the United States and ultimately internationally and eventually working within the Best Buy organization and doing his own thing, Robert truly is. The things that Robert studies, the circles he runs in, and just his perspective just in general on life, leadership, you know, love, health, you name it. So he's going to join me next week, and so we've got a real treat for you there. And then a couple weeks out, not prepared to announce the guest yet, but have a couple real strong candidates, so it's going to be exciting, Daniel.
That is cool. That's
so
awesome. Go ahead.
So, Daniel, before we leave, I want to do a special call-out to Aaron, because I know that Aaron listens to the show. For those of you who didn't hear, catch us earlier, Aaron is Daniel's son, and, you know, he graduated from eighth grade, so congratulations, Daniel. I know
Thank
he's
you.
Trying out for the big league soccer teams there in Los Angeles. I wanted to congratulate him on that, and I wanted to wish you to a fantastic trip to Peru before we sign off. But before we go, Daniel, is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners?
You know, take the time and go and read this incredible article that Gary Hamel wrote with the Business Harvard Review. And, you know, Johnny, I was just thinking about, for those of you that have been listening in on, you know, we still have 10 more shows to do on this article, we might just do our entire first get-together in Sedona around this, because all of it is so valuable, and there's a difference, I think, when you are able to get together and listen to other people's opinions and work through those opinions as it pertains to these particular diseases. And you know, I don't even know if I'd call them diseases, and I know why they did that, because it's something that eats up at you so much as is character defects that we have. That I think we have to be in check with on a day in and day out basis. I don't think anyone on this globe is not privy to them, even the Pope. And he'd be the first to tell you, because he's that kind of Pope, that he's human and that he'll make human mistakes. So I'm excited about that, Johnny, and I'm looking forward to coming back the middle of July and letting you guys know, and I'll let Aaron know that you wished him well. I know he's going to have a good time, you've got a wedding coming up soon, don't you?
Yeah, my youngest daughter, she's getting married in August. Actually, I got to double check.
Oh, that's a lot of work.
I got to make sure that doesn't conflict with the trip you and I have in New York, which is kind of ironic that comes up
Interesting. Yeah, I know. Notice how he pops this on me while we're on the air. it's like kind of, you know, you want to say something to your parents and you just kind of you throw it out while you're eating dinner in between mashed potatoes and corn, so they don't actually really hear it. But yeah, I told you I wasn't going to be able to make it. Everything's good. Everything works out the way
Johnny,
it's supposed
to. I better check as soon as I get off the show, huh? But folks,
thanks
for joining us today. And again, keep in mind, as you read these articles and you listen to these shows, this is not the stuff that they teach in college. At least it's not the premier and the required courses. These are the tough life lessons of just of leadership, and it comes with wisdom and experience. So, if in any way we hope that Daniel and I help you. Help you discover some new capabilities and new toolbox or new tools for your toolbox. But by all means, thanks for joining us. Have yourself an awesome week, and we'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Awakening Spirituality in Business Today with Daniel Gutierrez and Johnny Hernandez. To provide feedback, listen to more episodes, or learn how Daniel and Johnny can help you in your business, visit their websites at livingwithpurpose.today or danielgutierrez.com. You can also call them directly at 1-805-764-1463. Thank you again for listening. The personal fulfillment and professional success you've been searching for is within your reach. Lead with your heart and live a life of purpose today.